We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson, Bright Lights in the Big City. You know, New York City, we got a bunch of big shots. And now I'm not going to give it to any of the players from the New York Liberty. Man, I'm giving this big shot of the night to El Presidente. No, I'm not a stoolie, but I got mad respect for Barstool and what Dave Portnoy has done. And that's how we're going to open up this open mic hour. Like, bro, David Portnoy is a legend. And the legend continues with news coming out that Fox Sports is nearing a deal with him and Barstool. They're expecting him to join Fox Sports after Fox Sports announced that they were clearing Breakfast Ball, Speak, and the faculty, or facility, rather. The facility with Emmanuel Acho, LaShawn McCoy, James Jones, and I forget who else was on there. Was Chase Daniel on there for a little while? I think Chase Daniel might have been on there for a little while. But anyway, that doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, if you cannot see that the internet is owning everything, right? Video killed the radio star. Man, internet is killing every form of media. And Dave Portnoy is like the original guy that like quit his job and started something online. Like, Portnoy started Barstool when I was in high school, bro. And the heights that he has reached off of a dollar and a dream, off of going for it, off of manipulating the internet. Bro, like, he's about to sign with a major network. And I think they have plans of putting him kind of like Pat McAfee got put with ESPN. They're saying that he's going to be on the, like, big noon kickoff. Like, you, if you watch college football, you know what that is. It's got Urban Meyer, Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart, Mark Ingram. You throw Dave Portnoy in there, that adds kind of like the Pat McAfee factor. So I don't know. I'm just impressed by where we are in 2025. Like I said, I remember before we get back to the calls, I remember being in college, the Barstool Blackout Tour. They were trying to come to my college. They couldn't find a venue. I reached out to Barstool. They talked to me about where to do it. I'm like, do it at the Stone Pony. I probably should have asked for more. I think at the time I was DJing, so I was like, yo, let me get a DJ set. They're like, no, we're not doing that. We have our DJ. But I end up getting in for free, and it turned into an epic night for everybody at the school because the Barstool Blackout Tour came to our school. That was like, I don't know, 2011, 2010. So like, fast forward all these years now, they're signing with Fox, and you already know how many other careers. You know, he's made all these dudes that run with him so big. Like, Big Cat came out last year and told y'all, yo, I'm not even from Chicago. Nobody cared. He's like, I'm a Massachusetts guy, but playing for, you know, Barstool Sports, I had to lean into the Chicago stuff. Alex Cooper was just with them. And Alex Cooper called me daddy. I just watched that documentary on Hulu with my wife. Like, they have a full-on Broadway production. They turned her podcast into something that goes to theaters, and, like, she's making over $30 million on her own. So Dave Portnoy has turned a lot of things into gold, and they're not done, and I just respect it because I am a product and a child of the internet, and I have a lot of young kids that reach out to me now, like, yo, man, is WFAN hiring? How do I break into WFAN, yo? Or, like, how do I do what you did? Like, I went to school for this. I graduated. I want to be on the radio. I want to be on TV. I'm like, bro, build your own thing. Like, it's right in front of y'all. When I went to school and graduated with a communication, radio, and television degree. We didn't see any of this. We didn't know any of this would exist. And give it another 10, 15 years, it's going to be completely different with AI and what is going to exist, like, in the future. So I'm telling you, if you are somebody that wants to be in sports talk radio, media, make content, every day start putting into yourself and your own channels and your own platforms. Dave Portnoy believed in himself, quit his job, started Barstool Sports, and now he's a king. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County, back on the Fan.
Keith, what's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. So, kind of like to segue to what you just said, I saw your story today, and kind of like you know, tacking on to what you said about how, you know, everything's right there for the taking, pretty much, in terms of the internet. Like, it's free to make a YouTube account, free to make a Spotify account. And that's kind of what I got going. I know a lot of other people, I just got, like, a startup account. Like, not, obviously, I'm the furthest thing from a big channel, but just the fact that I got something where I could say, oh, you got a podcast, and, you know, send them a link to my YouTube, Spotify, et cetera. And honestly, like, what you were talking about, the day and age where you grew up in, even Portnoy, which, like, it was 10 times more ballsy for Portnoy to quit his job back then to compare to, you know, a situation like that now where you kind of give up a 9-to-5 type job to pursue something in this business, where back when Portnoy did it, it was, you know, unthinkable. But just overall, like, if there's one thing that's kind of like, for the lack of a better term, scary about it, is that it's so easy to get something going now that you're just kind of like one fish in a vast sea of podcasts and shows that are getting started up and everything. And credit to Portnoy and Barstool. And then you brought up Cat, you know, KFC is another one. And that's kind of like with Barstool too, is that it's not just Portnoy and Big Cat and KFC.
Frank,
like
the Tank. Frank the Tank is rocking with them.
Bro, I know people. I remember Frank from like 2019, 2020. And even that feels like kind of like a late bloomer. Some people remember him from, you talk about X and how long I've been calling you. We've seen the evolution of the check mark and the whole name and Elon, all that.
Yeah.
Frank was big back in the day when the live stream you have now was called Periscope, and it was a different site. I feel like an old man yelling at class saying that.
Periscope
was like 7 years ago.
The Twitter version of live.
Yeah.
And then Twitter for a while didn't have a live, and now Elon brought it back. But yeah, Frank the Tank didn't just start being a sports almanac and going to Devils games and Mets games. People have seen him for years, but he took it to another level with Barstool. Jared Karabas.
No,
I've had Karabas on, and Karabas isn't with them now, but Karabas made his name with them where he was able to leave them and sign with Underdog Fantasy and work for MLB Network. And now I just saw he was at the All-Star game. He's got the Section 10 podcast, Baseball is Dead podcast. He's doing his own thing. The message is, so many of you guys want to work in sports. So many of you guys have this dream. Well, it's a moving target, but like something that will not move or leave you is your own Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, podcast.
Dude, and I'll give you another example. You know, obviously the whole news of today with Barstool and Fox, but I'll give you kind of another bit, one of the big, not big four, but like one of the mainstreams in today's sports media where you came from, John Boy. And if we're being, you know, personally for me, I didn't really remember you from John Boy. I first got to know you from the Fan, and all these years later,
good,
here we are. I'll give you another example, the opposite though. I remember it's top shelf / Shelfie. You obviously know him. I'm sure a lot of people here don't, as much.
Of course.
It depends on the age group. Shelfie's a man, and I remember him more so before he got to John Boy, but kind of how it's like interweaved.
And Fuzzy.
And now he's there, but Fuzzy's another one, man. And then like Cougs and like that, I was a lot younger.
Foolish Baseball.
The show. Yeah, man. Like Jolly Olive's another one, kind of got seen by John Boy. He's there now. But overall, like, and kind of circle back to Frank, Stu's another one. Stu Finer called Boomer and Gio the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the fact that you're seen nowadays, just all it takes to be seen, like you said with Frank. Super, you know, Met super fan, all the videos, the reaction videos, everything. The guy was a court clerk. And here he is traveling the world. He's walking with people that are like a J.J. Watt and you know, you name it, Doc Darrell, et cetera.
Yeah.
And this guy was 5 years ago was making videos yelling about Paul Sewald, and he was seen by the right person. And that's all it takes nowadays, man, and it's crazy. And you see, you know, what Barstool's turned into, the fact they're going to be on a major network now, and they've pretty much made themselves a major network themselves. It's crazy, man, the world we live in.
They were supposed to have a deal with ESPN some years ago that got tripped up. And that's another thing I'll say about Dave. He's had some scandals. He's had some negative press. But there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's all just publicity. And with this news cycle, things blow over and they just keep winning. You can't cancel Dave Portnoy. Like, he's not going to lose.
No, they've tried to multiple times. It just feels like it's insurmountable, and like kind of like you said, like the empire he's built, the fact that I think when they first started up, correct me if I'm wrong, it was him, Cat, and KFC were just like in a little van, just like traveling the world, I think. They're not the world, but like the country. And here they are. They got offices here, Miami, Chicago. Chicago's like the big one, I think, now.
It was all about page clicks. It was all about their blog and their articles and getting clicks and hustling that way. I remember they had the Barstool smoke shows. I remember I knew some girls that ended up being Barstool smoke shows. Like, they just always kind of had these little trendy things that would pop up on social media. And fast forward to now, it's an empire that someone like Fox has to respect. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019 as we get back to the sports calls. But like I said, it's open mic time in this last hour that I'm on, and whatever you guys want to bring to the table, we can bring to the table. And like, Barstool Sports was started around, you know, these guys being Patriots fans and Red Sox fans and Celtics fans. And, you know, then they came to New York and obviously to attack the New York market, and they did that. So I don't know. I respect the gangster. I respect, you know, going for it. I'm someone that quit my job to become who I became. I didn't have the backing and the, you know, other things that a Dave Portnoy had to become what he became. But, you know, I just respect him, and I've kind of watched it this whole time. And when I saw that pop up, I'm like, of course, because traditional media is looking to social media for the new stars of new media that have the internet presence and then also can, you know, go from that to TV. And Dave Portnoy is someone that, like, you started seeing first on the internet, but, like, he's television ready. So 888-808-1019. Back to the phone calls, mostly around the Mets and the Yankees and trade deadline needs. What I will do is sneak in a couple other things that we haven't brought to the table yet as well. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay next. What's up, Phil? Welcome back.
Hi, Keith. Keith, good evening. I wanted to say one thing. Ronnie Mauricio is very good defensively at third base. And if they can come up with someone, they don't need a power hitter, none of that nonsense, someone who's going to put the ball in play. And Mauricio, if he could start hitting the breaking pitches and curveballs, they got their man. But Brooks Raley will just take care of part of their answer for a lefty in the bullpen.
Coming back.
And I'm hoping he comes back and is in good shape to help them, give them a good hand and fight for the playoffs.
Francisco Alvarez got to come back and make an impact.
Yeah. But I don't know. He's hitting home runs off, you know, this is the minor league pitches. Let's see what he does here.
Yeah, but as we talk about the lineup,
his swing. Yeah.
And like Mauricio in the bottom of the order, and, you know, even how top heavy the lineup is with all the money up there and those guys having to produce. Like, if you can get, you know, a revitalized Alvarez in the lineup, that's going to help as well. Brooks Raley definitely will help as well.
If he doesn't uppercut the ball all the time, I see him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's about it. You have a good evening.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Yeah, I don't know. I look at the Mets differently than the Yankees, of course, but I look at the Mets as you have an owner who talks about winning the World Series and being in that window, and you went out and got Juan Soto. You're not wasting this year at all. And then you have a president of baseball operations who is going to shake some trees, make some calls, and try and help this team get back to where they were last year. The bar is at the NLCS. They have to get back to the NLCS, and I think they're ready to make some moves at the deadline to fortify this rotation, bullpen, and then add maybe a center fielder or another bat to that lineup, and then you got to give to get. So maybe one of these young guys between Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos, Ronnie Mauricio end up dealt. But out of those three, I think Mauricio has the most upside. Just his, like, his build and his power. I think out of the three of them, he's the best at third base. I would lean to keep him. And then with Vientos coming back, I already mentioned Vientos, like, showing himself in Kansas City. That's a good sign. You hope to get more out of him. There were conversations about Vientos this year, and it was like he was a lock to be a 30-home-run guy. Vientos potentially could be an all-star this year, and maybe in the second half, he can find that version of himself. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ack in Lakewood on the fan next. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? I just wanted to talk about Volpe.
Okay. Volpe? All right, well, he disappeared. I guess we've hit our quota of Volpe calls in the last month, 2 months. where there might be something in the system. As soon as you said Volt, it was like, nah, we get it. Like, what else is there to say?
I don't think our friend Ack knows how to use a phone, because that was the third time that he called. Like, while he was waiting on hold, he also hung up twice and then recalled back. So
pulling back the curtain for you. Nico is like, listen, he's been struggling all night. He got on and he's still struggling. Let's go to Brian in West Palm. I know Brian knows what to do.
Yeah, how you doing, Keith? I got a trade for the Yankees. It won't cost them much, and he was on the Yankees before. How about bringing back Gio Urshela? I know he's not going to hit a lot, but he's a pretty good third baseman.
The A's, right? What is his numbers at the plate this year? He's batting .231. He's got no pop. He didn't have enough pop. He's got 16 ribbies, 28 hits. What would you give up to bring Gio to God back to the Bronx? I don't know.
A lower minor leaguer. But I'm just saying that if the Yankees, some of these teams are going to hold the Yankees up. You know Pittsburgh. You know Colorado. You know St. Louis. They're going to hold the Yankees up for their better minor leaguers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I know the Cashman tax is going to be high, and I know that they're not going to just hand the Yankees. They need a right-handed hitter, an actual hitter that obviously can field the position. Because if you're going to just go to one of these lower-level guys that are batting under, 240, then it's like you just stick with Peraza. Thanks for the call, Brian. 888-808-1019. Shout out to E in the chat. E says it's going to be one of Ryan McMahon or Key Brian Hayes. Hayes is elite, best range of all third basemen. He would help Volpe since he would cut off grounders with Volpe fielding. McMahon is top three fielding in range, slightly stronger arm, but his exit velo is much better than Hayes. I would do Hayes with Bednar. If Rockies, it would be McMahon and Bird. If not either of them, then it would be a utility guy that would just bring more offense than Peraza, even if worse than Peraza, but more than likely, like, who's going to be worse than Peraza? But yeah, I like the combination of, if you're doing business with the Rockies, it's Bird and McMahon. The Rockies, like, they shouldn't be, is it Jake Bird and Ryan McMahon? What do you really want? Come on. And then same thing with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, you guys are cooked. Teams are trash. And you're like, you're in a complete, like, rebuild. Just give it up. Just give it up already. It's funny. What else? Going back, let's go Mets in the chat. When we were talking about the Yankees getting Austin Riley, a Mets fan chimes in and says, why would the Braves want to trade Austin Riley? Would they really not think they can compete in the time frame of his cheap contract? Riley's what, 28 years old? And he's locked up? That's what I'm saying. Why would they move on from any of those? They won locking up their guys the way that they locked them up. I tip my cap to the Braves and how they do business, and how they have so many of these guys under control for so long. I don't think Austin Riley is a reality. Justin in the chat says, well, Gleyber Torres is a free agent after this year. Well, can Gleyber play third? Gleyber refused to play third, and the Tigers aren't trading him. And the Tigers should bring him back. He was an all-star in their first year with him. Steal of a deal. Let's go down to Barnegat and talk to Brian on the Fan next. What's up, man? You got it.
Hi, Keith. How are you doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you? I think I last saw you at Fanatics Fest, man. Thanks for coming out.
No, that was not me.
No? Oh, I'm sorry. I had you confused.
It's okay. Might have been someone else. I wanted to talk to you about the MLB All-Star game last night. What did you think about it?
Loved it. I am a baseball fan. I've been to a few of these All-Star games. I thought it was great. I thought there was more wins than losses, but we just live in a time where social media is really loud and people just rather complain, and it's a mob mentality of haters and people that just are like, oh, this sucked. Where was Judge? Where was Ohtani? What is this? Why is this? Why? Instead of just being like, wow, that was actually highly entertaining. And for an exhibition game in the middle of July, the Midsummer Classic was a success in Atlanta.
I loved the game, but what did you think of the swing-off?
Yeah, the swing-off to me was fine. I understand it being midnight, you know, almost midnight. I was in here. I was doing my show 9 to 1, and it was late. The game started at 8. By the time we got to the swing off, I think it had to be like 12, like almost 12, 11:30. So you go with who you got, who was just in the game, and those are the second tier guys. But they did still have, you know, give credit to Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts had Kyle Schwarber in there. He had Pete Alonso ready. I said, if you guys want to, you know, throw it on Boone, throw it on Boone for having Aranda as the anchor. Aranda should have been the first one to go. Brent Rooker should have been the anchor. But I thought it was great. I did not expect it. There's a video that WFAN posted of me where I was just in here like, yo, I wish I could just like watch this as a fan right now. Because I guess I probably read this 4 or 5 years ago that, hey, now, you know, the All-Star game, if a tie happens, it'll be decided in a swing-off. But when they rallied all the way back, the American League to tie it, I was like, I'm thinking they're going to go to extras, but it's an exhibition game. Why go to extras? You could just call it a tie. It was theater to see them go into the swing-off and see how it played out. I thought it was a lock that Pete Alonso was going to win it, and he didn't even have to go.
Yeah, here's what I don't want. I don't want the swing off in regular season.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that because it's not fair to either side because the pitcher is who's like the other team is not going to put a pitcher in to pitch the swing off. It like we saw that executed by guys on the coaching staff. Of the managers that manage the game, like there is no, it's not like the goalie in hockey or soccer being the defender for each team, and then the best scorer is going at the defender. It's just it's not that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know what to say. I wasn't a fan of. I miss the old extra innings. I guess I'm just longing for that, but
yeah, we'll never get those 15 inning games. Manfred's man on second is here to stay because I think a lot of the players endorsed it. They liked that was able to speed up those regular season games, but I don't think players would like. Sorry, I had to sneeze. I don't think players would like a swing off where the pitching coach goes out there and pitches to them, and like it's just. It's too janky to be a real thing. Thanks for the call, Brian. 888-808-1019. I said it. The All-Star game in baseball, and I've said this for years, is the best All-Star festivities. The baseball festival beats the basketball festival, the NFL, NHL. What MLB does from city to city, getting the entire world and the entire baseball world to show up in one place, and do everything from the HBCU Swingman Classic to the celebrity softball game to the draft to the home run derby to what you saw last night in the All-Star game ending in the swing-off, they won. No, nothing else was on, and you get to see the best compete against the best. Guys are throwing hard. Guys are hitting home runs. Guys are playing defense. Guys are running like... I think it's great. When you watch the NBA, those guys are out there playing pickup basketball, and they're jogging. Nobody's playing defense. They're chucking up shots. And depending on what city it's in, it's lame. It is just not like the slam dunk contest is completely gone. The 3-point contest is there, but it's like, I don't know. If the best guys don't do it, like no one really cares. I don't think there's any debate. At NHL, I said, might be a close second. I liked what I saw with the NHL. Obviously, this past year with the Four Nations Classic, like they obviously won during their All-Star break doing that, but they're not going to do that every single year. The NBA needs to find a way. The NBA needs to find a way to get the All-Stars to play, and they've tweaked their game a little bit. Still can't get these guys to really hoop. I know they have the Rising Stars game and, you know, the skills competition. NBA has fallen off. With their All-Star game. I used to love NBA All-Star as a kid. Let's go to Chris in Port Washington next. You're on the fan. What's up?
What up, Keith? How are you, man?
Good, good. Watching Summer League.
I knew you were talking about the NBA. I knew I was next. I had to answer your question. I'm obsessed with the Knicks. I call you all the time, right?
Yeah.
Give me your starting five for the Knicks.
It's going to be the same starting five as last year unless they're able to make a trade.
Who is, what roster spot, where is the free agent that you think could put them over the top? I don't know, not over the top, but like, is it Marcus Smart? Right? No, is it Smart?
They don't have any wiggle room right now with the second apron.
Is it Ben Simmons if they get rid of Mitchell Robinson?
I saw those rumblings of Ben Simmons, and I feel like you don't really want that kind of...
No, I don't want that. I don't want that circus at all.
Yeah, you don't want that kind of attention or even that kind of signing, no matter what he could bring. Bringing in Ben Simmons. They bring in Yabusele. They bring in Clarkson. And already the bench, like the next thing you're going to hear is Landry Shamet. Like that's what all the rumblings have been about, you know, in the last couple of days, that Landry Shamet is open to coming back. And then
because he is part now of the family. The guy, the French guy, they moved back in the draft to draft him to make Yashemite comfortable as another guy from the French team. So they have all the Frenchies. Shamet is now in the incestual nature of the Knicks. They got to find somebody else who will fit in there. Is Dante a possibility? Bringing him back. There are guys out there, man. If they all operate,
maybe, but I don't. I think that ship has kind of sailed.
I hope so. I'm over it. Who's the shooter? Who's the guy, the shooting guard that they can get? I can't handle. They're ruining my life, the Knicks. I need a guy on the bench to handle the ball, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they have anybody that they can go out there and sign. They got to get crafty. They got to finesse something. You're going to be rocking with the same team. It's just the bench is going to be a little different.
But it's going to feel different, though. It's
going to feel a lot different. Mike Brown is going to make the team just feel a lot different.
I don't know, like not playing, you know, 38 minutes against the Hornets
of play,
January.
His coaching in game, his post game is going to. You hope that they take a step forward from where they are last year, but that's tough.
Listen, I'll let you go with this. I'm with my boys here, and I told them. I call Lou all the time, and I said, you are the coolest guy in the entire world, man. I love that you pick up, man, and you always answer. You always give a good answer, man. I wish I had this position in your life, man. God bless you, bro. Keep it real.
Appreciate it, Chris. 888-808-1019. You know, the Knicks got it, bro. Like, the expectations are where they are. They've done what they've done in the offseason. They've turned the page on Tom Thibodeau. Mike Brown is the guy. Before you know it, the summer's going to pass by. And when I say they got it, like they've got everybody's attention. They've got all the hype. The fans have stopped crying about firing the coach and who's going to be the coach and how they went about hiring the next guy. They got a guy with enough experience. And you know you're in your window. We're seeing summer league and Mikal Bridges is popping out. I think I saw a picture of Cat out there. What you hope is that guys like Tyler Kolek take a step forward. And, yeah, Shamet, I think, is going to be the next one to come back. But, I think when I last was talking Knicks, when I last was looking at the Knicks payroll, there was not much more room. They're going to be hard-capped at that second apron. But if y'all really think you're going to get Giannis or Bron, whatever, maybe. But I think you have enough to win. I think you have, like, that's another thing when I say the Knicks got it. It's such a clear path in theory on paper for them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Pacers are out of the picture. The Celtics are out of the picture. I just saw Donovan Mitchell just propose to Coco Jones. Donovan Mitchell... He's about to be wifed up. He's about to be booed up. He might be out of the paint. You don't got to worry about the Cavs. Some people want to act like the Orlando Magic all of a sudden because they signed 3 recs. Like all of a sudden Desmond Bane is going to make them some type. Maybe they'll be better, but like they're not going to rock with the Knicks, bro. The Knicks go down there and take over their building every time. And I think this Knicks team will be stronger from the year that they just had. They just got to stay healthy. And that's why you go get a Mike Brown that – will play the bench guys you added and take some of that wear and tear off of them so they're not playing so many minutes. You know, I take notes every day. My iPhone has notes. Like, I could search. And right now, my iPhone or my notes, my iNotes that are on my iPhone that is shared is frozen. But I'm like, I remember I had some stat about how many more minutes the Knicks starters had played compared to the teams they were playing against based on Tom Thibodeau never pulling his starters. And there's it was just too many miles. And they got lucky this year that they stayed healthy, but you can't expect that to happen next year. Like, they got to really play it safe because it is championship or bust. So you bring in a Gershon Yabusele, a big dude from Philly, who's going to be able to score, but also, you know, give you some defense and just a different kind of mentality. I think I was looking at my notes, and my notes are frozen as I'm trying to go back. But, like, in that summer league game that just happened a couple days ago with the Brooklyn Nets and the Knicks, I think I was looking at Brian Lewis's tweet, and he said something about how, like, you know, the Knicks have more guys over 6'10 in their summer league than the Nets have on their entire team. Like, the Knicks got it, bro. They're not playing around. So, you Knicks fans, I know you got to wait a little bit, watch some baseball, go ahead, watch the Liberty. Just be patient. They understand. They have set this, right? They have set this, you know, message out, this mission statement, this tagline of, like, you know, we're singularly focused on bringing a championship to our fans. Like, they have now stepped into the realm of the Yankees, the Mets, the Rangers, where it's championship or nada. Like, so you can expect them to do the things that they got to do to be there. You just got to hope that everything else falls into place. 888-808-1019. I'm going to take a break here so that I can come back and I can hit the rest of these calls. I got a full rack of calls. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Appreciate you guys rocking with me. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Okay, my last 10 minutes. That's all I got, New York. But I'll be back tomorrow. We'll do the same thing tomorrow. No? Yes? Yes? No? Maybe? Yes? No? Maybe so? Yeah. Yeah. I think he gonna do one more. I think I got another 5 hour KM to AM in me for tomorrow night. So fret not. Big Max in the bullpen. He's warming up. He's coming up next. Let's take these calls. Let's see if I can get 5 calls in 10 minutes. On your mark, get set, go. Tom is down in Brick, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Tom?
What's up, Keith?
You know, closing the show.
I just had like a small trade proposal for you. I wonder if you don't make sense, maybe. You have, let's say, Cole and Schmidt out with the Tommy John, right? Maybe like a trade for like either like Seth Lugo or like Zach Gallen. This year we want to win a World Series, no? And if they're out till 2026, maybe now it's time to do it.
Yeah, you got to try and get a starter. Thanks for the call, Tom. You got to try and get a starter just because, like, you have two all-star starters. Rodon, still not able to trust him all the time. Definitely not in a big spot. Max Fried, people want to start talking about his postseason numbers and what he's done against better competition this year. The Cubs, the Mets, the Dodgers, not great. Specifically those those NL teams. I would get another guy that I feel confident in throwing because outside of those two guys, you don't have anything. Heel, Stroman, Schlitter, you don't have anything else. So I think if you can get a Zach Gallen or a Seth Lugo, sure, run it. But like, you're going to have to pay for those type of guys. Pat is riding down the Cross Bronx Expressway on the Fan in New York. What's up, PAT?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How you doing, bud?
Good, good.
Yeah, so I agree with the last caller. I think, you know, like a Zach Gallen, maybe you could put that with Eugenio Suarez, too, because they're both free agents after this year, you know? And maybe we could get something in a package deal. You don't have to give and don't give up much.
Yeah, I'm with it. I mean, if let's assume the Diamondbacks are going to sell. And
yeah.
they want to make some type of package deal, you can get those two guys. You're going to have to give up some top prospects, but so be it. You know, like the last caller said, you trying to win a World Series this year? Yes, every single year, especially in Judge's prime, especially with Max Fried being an all-star, especially with Stanton getting another year earlier, like older. You have to try to push to not just get in the dance, but win it.
Yep, I agree.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Yeah, that's every year the mission statement for the Yankees World Series or bust, but you were there last year. This whole origin story of 2025 was supposed to be revenge from last year, right? A-Rod's painting the picture of a rematch of the Yankees and Dodgers from last year where the Yankees can actually beat the Dodgers. Maybe. The American League, we know, as I'm talking about the path for the Knicks, the American League is going to be there for the Yankees. They should win their division. The Tigers are going to be good. You don't want to run into Tarek Skubal. The Astros, I'd love there to be a story in this origin story where we do see the Astros again. This time it's us knocking the Astros out. I don't fear them. Let's go down to Ocean County and talk to Joe next. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. This is Michael. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Love your show. I know the Ulster game, the home run derby, I was not impressed with. I mean, come on already. Who was in it? Of course, the winner.
Well, I'll say
what
this.
What was Chisholm doing in it?
Yeah, Chisholm should have never been in it, but he said himself he kind of did a solid for Major League Baseball because he got interviewed and he said, I'd do it. And, you know, they're struggling to fill the field because these guys don't want to do it. I felt like Cal Raleigh was always the favorite. He's the leader in home runs. His story, they showed the video, like it's, you know, they were playing into his dad throwing him the pitches and his brother catching for him. And they even leaned into like, oh, yeah, he's going to advance because he hit a home run of, you know, 8 inches further than Brent Rooker. But like they did have O'Neal Cruz in it who hit the furthest home run.
But
he's a freak of nature and he can hit the ball far and hard. I didn't mind him being in it. You know, Ellie De La Cruz said he's going to do it next year. Junior Caminero is another guy. He's the youngest guy to ever do it. I thought he had a good shot to potentially win. Brent Rooker, I already said. I don't know. The field was mid, but like they're running out of guys to do it, and some of the best guys don't want to do it. And the format it does take a long time. They should just make it like six guys or four guys. And kind of make it like they made the swing off.
All four are better.
Yeah, just the 10 outs.
No, one with the two, each one playing each other instead of a 4-2-1.
Yeah, and then even with the bonus period, I don't even really know the current rules now. Thanks for the call, Joe. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's go to Queens next. Mike is on the fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Keith, I love your show, bro, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I got a question about – oh, you're welcome. I got a question about the double standards. Like LeBron James always gets criticized about not being in the dunk contest, but you have Aaron Judge. He never gets criticized about not being in the home run contest. Why does LeBron get criticized? Yeah.
I'll say this. Judge did it as a rookie, and he put on a show, and he won. So he is one and done. LeBron never did it. And LeBron kind of hinted at doing it in his prime and then ducked it. So like LeBron deserves all the criticism. Judge maybe a little bit because like it's been 7 years now, like Judge, like, but if they do bring it around to the new Yankee Stadium, which we are due for, I said maybe if they do it before we get to like 2028, you know, it's going to go to Philly, Chicago, and then I think next we're going to find out that it's going to Fenway. So if they can get it to Yankee Stadium by 2029, maybe Judge will do it then, and hopefully he's not completely washed. But yeah, he put on such a show his rookie year doing it.
Yeah,
you can only fail. You can only lose after that, right? Like it kind of makes it tough.
I agree with you, bro. Thank you for the call.
Of course, thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, you know, I remember Stanton doing a few of them. Yoenis Cespedes doing a few of them. Vladdy doing a few of them. It's like once you win, you're out of there. Once you win, you don't need to do it. Byron Buxton participated in this one because of the age of his kids, just to say that he could do it. You know, shout out to the Home Run Derby. I actually said I was looking for it. I don't know if it came out yet. My damn notes are absolutely just, I got the pinwheel of death on my MacBook. I think it's just because it's about to be that time. But I did have the ratings for the Home Run Derby. Let Let me go to my phone and scroll down. Let's see. The 2025 MLB Home Run Derby on ESPN drew an average of 5.73 million viewers, a 5% increase compared to the 2024 event. So that's a win for MLB. The viewership makes it one of the most watched programs of the day across all broadcasts and cable channels. And congrats to Cal Raleigh. And, yeah, I don't know. With Judge, Judge had a look on his face, and I said this. Judge had a look on his face like, yo, I could watch these guys. And then as Jazz was struggling, and Jazz shouldn't have been in it, those little guys never win. They don't have it. Like, they're not, they don't have the natural power. You know, Pete Alonso did a few of them and won two of them. Mookie Betts, Jose Ramirez, I'm sure I'm forgetting some other guys. They don't fare well in that competition because they just don't. Like, it, like you can see, even I was looking at, like, Junior Caminero, like, they start to get too much in their upper body where they're leaning and they're trying so hard to swing and hit it out. But, yeah, I didn't mind it. I mean, it is what it is. I was impressed with O'Neill Cruz, how far he hit one. I was impressed with Junior Caminero. He's young. You can expect him to come back. Jazz said he would do it again. I thought James Wood would be a little bit more of an impressive guy. And then they had the hometown guy filling. Ronald Acuna Jr. was supposed to do it. That's a star that would have done it this year. Maybe he'll do it next year. Matt Olson filled in for him. Again, Major League Baseball won. I am not poking holes in this thing. I'm not looking at any of these stars and saying, why didn't you stay for the swing-off? Or why didn't you do the home run derby? Otani's another one. I watched Otani lose, and he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm Otani. I don't have to do that. Last call of the night goes to John in Bayonne. What's up, John?
I'm bad at night today. That's okay.
You're the closer. No, you're Edwin Diaz. You're Devin Williams. You're about to win the game.
Mariano Rivera.
There it is.
Listen, I think these all-star games, I'm talking about all sports, then what do we get out of it? Number one. Number two is, guess what? It's in the middle of the season. One of our players could get hurt. Okay, number three is, guess what? I'd rather see them play, keep on playing baseball and make it where the World Series is in better weather and stuff like that. It's got to stop. It doesn't mean nothing. The dunk contest and hockey. No, listen, when it comes down to it, it's baseball.
But John, you know? Think about the kids. What about the children? The kids love this type of stuff. Thanks for the call. I disagree, man. I remember going to Williamsport Little League Baseball Camp. I went there 97, 98, 99, maybe 98, 99. And I would time it up to go the week of the All-Star game. And I love being at baseball camp, watching a home run derby, watching the All-Star game with other kids. And then you're like fired up the next day. I'm Ken Griffey Jr. Look at me. I'm Barry Bonds. You got Mike and Ike's on deck. You got Sour Patch Kids, Milk Duds, York Peppermint Patties, ice cream, soda. Like, those were the days. Wish I was a kid now. Actually, it was better when I was a kid. I don't wish I was a kid. Now I'm a grown man now. All right, let me get out of the way. C-Max coming up next. We'll do this again tomorrow. Good night.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.